Good morning, and welcome to Greater Good. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix, from the Sun Sounds of Arizona studios. The Greater Good Science Center studies the psychology, sociology, and neuroscience of well-being, and teaches skills that foster a thriving, resilient, and compassionate society. And now, some articles from Greater Good. Why parental stress isn't just about the parent. Taking care of yourself as a parent isn't an indulgence. It has a substantial effect on the well-being of your children. By Joanne Chen, June 18, 2025. Parenting requires physical, mental, and emotional labor. It demands multitasking, patience, sleepless nights, and money. But unlike other types of work, parents can't simply quit. There's no HR program conveniently in place to offer guidance. And unlike parents of ages past, modern-day caretakers in the United States rarely live among extended households where relatives can lend a hand. When parents today need help, they have to actively seek it, and it seems that many don't or can't. In 2023, a third of parents reported high levels of stress in the past month, compared to 20% of other adults, according to a 10-year analysis of the American Psychological Association's Stress in America data. This isn't just a problem for parents, but for children. As the former Surgeon General's 2024 advisory report, Parents Under Pressure, explains, there's a complex interplay between the well-being of parents and that of their children, where a parent's state of mental health can influence a child's and vice versa. That's not just because of genetics. A robust body of research suggests that stress, particularly the stress that comes with caretaking, can make it harder to raise children in a way that makes them feel safe, loved, and supported. After all, parents serve as the foundation, the essential external regulators of children's emotions, and they set behavior expectations, says Larissa Hallel Ribas, a pediatric doctor and professor of medicine at Catholic University of Pelotas, Rio Grande do Sul, Brazil, who has authored papers on the topic. When a parent is overwhelmed by parenting stress, it can influence the parent-child relationship and weaken this role. This, in turn, can undermine a child's ability to form secure attachments, she explains, and affect emotional and behavioral health, including the potential for developing anxiety, depression, ADHD, oppositional defiant disorder, and conduct disorders. The findings from my research highlight that caring for the mental health of parents is crucial to protecting the mental health of children, she says. This need for parental support has perhaps never been more urgent. As the advisory points out, parents now grapple with stressors that didn't exist to such an extent or at all until recently. Navigating the ever-rising expectations of what success should look like for a child, managing social media, feeling that they're forever falling short, and of course, worrying over climate change and serious political strife. These challenges begin long before we think children are aware of the circumstances around them. and the effects can carry on long after they're dropped off at college. The good news is that even if parenting stress can disrupt parenting, it's not inevitable, and neither is its impact on a child's well-being, says Marjorie Smith, professor emeritus of family psychology at the University College of London and a longtime researcher on children and families. Some moms will continue to parent well, and some children will not be impacted by their mother's stress, for example, if they have a close caretaking relationship with another adult, such as a father or a grandparent. In helping caretakers manage parenting stress, we can also enhance their children's well-being, the adult that they become, and the society that they ultimately help shape. As we explain in our new book, Family Well-Being for the Greater Good, a science-based workbook for people supporting parents, peace and well-being in the world often begin with peace and well-being at home. Here's a look at some of the recent research exploring the impact of parenting stress and anxiety on children as they grow, and what can help alleviate it. Babies and long days of care. Infancy is arguably the most stressful time of raising a child, particularly for first-time moms and dads. Not only are infants fragile and needy, you can't help but question whether you're doing things right. Lack of sleep, not to mention for some moms breastfeeding, leaves parents feeling as if they're being pushed over the edge. Fortunately, stress levels typically decline as time goes by, likely as parents feel they've gotten the hang of it. But for others, a feeling of anxiety sticks around, and that can influence their child, explains Rebecca Brooker, who conducted a 2015 Frontiers in Psychology study in babies between 9 months and 2 years of age, and both their birth and adopted parents. What surprised her the most was how small genetic influences were. We've been taught for so long that genetics pre-programs us in a certain way, but that's not necessarily the case, she says. There's something about a parent's anxiety that is an important part of the early environment that shapes a child's outcomes. She and her team found that anxiety symptoms in the adopted moms and dads predicted more negative emotional responses, such as avoidance and distress, in babies 9 months later. There was no such correlation with the birth parents. The team also found that the associations with stress go both ways. The negative emotions and behaviors at 9 months correlated with anxiety symptoms in adoptive parents 18 months later, but not concurrently at 9 months. This suggests that those symptoms may take time to unfold, says Brooker, a professor of psychological and brain sciences at Texas A&M University, and that the association between the parents and child's behaviors likely strengthens over time. What's more, parenting stress is associated with parents being less responsive toward their children, notes a 2021 Children and Youth Services review paper. In this study, which examined both moms and dads, found that when parents are less sensitive toward their kids' needs, parenting stress is associated with issues in cognitive development and pro-social behavior. So, how can caregivers set aside stress and lean into more positive interactions? Along with the many proven strategies explored in our workbook for parenting professionals, learning mindfulness can make a difference. Research suggests that preschoolers' moms who embraced mindfulness had lower levels of not only parenting stress, but also depression and anxiety. Raising school-aged kids. Going to school presents a new array of experiences for kids and parents. Children are no longer small bundles easy to tote along. They have opinions and want things, often things that aren't particularly safe or healthy. They're navigating academics and grades, friendships and extracurriculars, all for the first time. All that can bring on a fresh wave of parental stress, made worse today in some communities by the frenzy of academic tutors, piano lessons, and youth sports, now believed necessary to secure a kid's future. Meanwhile, the stressors of day-to-day life, work, finances, aging parents, and so on, don't let up. It's a lot. It's tempting to just disengage. And yet, a parent's success in managing all this stress is particularly crucial during this phase of children's lives. In a time of new social experiences and learning, parents are the primary guides. With positive parenting, their evolving brains grow neural connections that help them evolve socially and emotionally. But when a caretaker is so stressed out so as to be unable to provide the support kids need, that could instead harm the children's mental health. As the Parents Under Pressure Advisory noted, a 2021 Adversity and Resilience Science paper found that a child with any caregiver with poor mental health was twice more likely to have a history of mental, behavioral, or developmental issues, leaving the child more prone to struggles in school and social situations than a child whose caregivers had good mental health. Kids with a mentally unwell caretaker were also four times more likely to have poor general health. According to a 2024 Journal de Pediatrica review paper, studies suggest that the nature of the children's emotional health and behaviors depended on the circumstance. For instance, hyperactivity and inattention behaviors were associated with the dad's struggle with parental stress, while problems with peers and emotional issues were associated with the mom's parental stress. Other papers they reviewed found correlations between parental stress and sleep disorders, among other conditions, in children. In longitudinal studies, the team also noted a study in which parents experiencing ongoing parental stress may lash out at their children and have difficulty maintaining a safe, healthy household. Chaotic and hostile home environments are associated with disruptive and delinquent behaviors in children, says Ribas at the Catholic University of Pelotas and the review paper's lead author. One of the many strategies in our work book for people supporting parents to help maintain a peaceful home is to place importance on establishing a connection with your child. When parents spend time with their young child to support their needs and emotions, they create a secure base, empowering kids to still explore and be adventurous while having a haven to return to for safety and comfort. Parenting teens. The adolescent years are a critical time for cognitive, emotional, and psychosocial development, and parenting teens has never been easy. With social media, hyper-realistic video games, and other digital advances in the last decade, the sources of worry for parents come not just from the physical world, but also the virtual one. The latest digital interventions to help parents feel more secure can also make them feel more stressed. Ask any parent about the tracking feature on smartphones, and they may tell you that it can arguably actually increase their worry as they spy their kids veering off the beaten path, or worse, disappear even momentarily from the screen. As conversations with parents suggest, it's a tool that offers them some semblance of control, only to, at least sometimes, remind them how little control they actually have. And while much is discussed about how smartphones cause teenagers to disengage, those same smartphones can also prevent parents from looking their teens in the eye and connecting, too. But as with younger kids, stressing over teens and attempting to somehow ease that stress by reining them in can exacerbate matters. A 2024 paper reports that parental stress symptoms predicted adolescent mental health issues, especially when it comes to the mother's stress. Interestingly, even though the researchers didn't see a direct effect of the dad's stress symptoms on his teen's mental health, the impact of stress may be exacerbated when the dad has difficulty showing support and affection toward the child, something termed parental rejection. As in other age groups, the stress may go both ways. As a 2024 communications psychology paper found, stressful feelings in adolescence correlated with negative emotions and feelings in parents the same day and onto the next day. Children's stress was also linked to physical health symptoms like headaches, cold, and flu. This finding suggests that parents also need support when their children are stressed, says Melissa Lippold, associate professor of social worker at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. According to a 2023 Harvard Graduate School of Education report, an anxious teen is three times more likely than a non-anxious teen to have an anxious parent. Fortunately, finding ways to manage that stress and focus on connecting not only improves the well-being of both parents and adolescents, it can lessen the negative impact of other stressors too. As a 2025 Trends in Psychiatry and Psychotherapy review paper exploring family stress and resilience reports, parenting stress plays a mediating role in the link between neighborhood poverty, collective efficacy, and outcomes in adolescence. In addition, a more supportive home environment correlated with less stress in the child and healthy socioeconomic development. Our workbook provides a range of strategies for parenting professionals to help parents get there, including exercises in mindfulness and forgiveness. And while empathy is best approached with boundaries to guard against becoming emotionally overwhelmed, it is also very important to consider when parenting teens, as our workbook notes. Empathy is vital for being able to respond sensitively to our children's distress. writes psychologist Stacy Doan and Jessica Borelli in their book, Nurture Meets Nurture. By trying to listen and see their teen's point of view, parents can begin to understand their child's need. A 2016 health psychology study suggests that empathetic parents possess a higher level of self-esteem and purpose in life. And in turn, adolescents with empathetic parents can regulate their emotions better too. Empathy starts with creating non-judgmental space for conversation. As our workbook for people supporting parents notes, when teens can rely on parents to be good listeners, they feel a sense of freedom and confidence in their capacity for self-expression and a greater sense of connection with their parents. What? A connection with parents? Now that's a win-win for everyone. About the author. Joanne Chen is a writer and editor in New York City. Her articles on children and parenting have appeared in The Bump, Parents Magazine, and The New York Times. You are listening to Greater Good Magazine, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona. And we have time for a Greater Good in Action practice, and this is entitled Self-Compassionate Letter. Stop beating yourself up for flaws and mistakes. How to do it. Time required, 5 to 15 minutes per day. Try to do this practice daily for a week to start. Later, you might try it once per week or at least once per month, whatever works best for you. How to do it. First, think of something about yourself that makes you feel mildly ashamed, insecure, or not good enough. It could be something related to your personality, behavior, abilities, relationships, or any other part of your life. Once you choose something, reflect on how it makes you feel. Sad, embarrassed, angry. The next step is to write a letter from yourself to yourself, expressing compassion, understanding, and acceptance for this part of yourself that you struggle with. As you express your thoughts and feelings in the letter, try to be good to yourself and be as honest as possible. Write whatever comes to you, but try to write in a way that makes you feel nurtured and soothed. Keep in mind that no one but you will see your letter, and there is no right or wrong way of doing this exercise. You can spend anywhere from 5 to 15 minutes writing. As you write this letter, follow these guidelines. Number 1, imagine that there is someone who loves and accepts you unconditionally for who you are. What would that person say to you about this part of yourself? Think about what you would say to a friend in your position, or what a friend would say to you in this situation. 2, remind yourself that everyone has things about themselves that they don't like and that nobody is perfect. Think about how many other people in the world might be struggling with the same thing that you're struggling with. 3, consider the ways in which events that have happened in your life, the family environment you grew up in, or even your genetic makeup that may have contributed to this thing about yourself that you dislike. 4, in a compassionate way, ask yourself whether there are things that you could do to improve or better cope with this part of you. Focus on how positive changes could make you feel happier, healthier, or more fulfilled. Try to avoid judging yourself. 5. After writing the letter, put it out of sight for a little while. Then, come back to it later and read it again. It may be especially helpful to read it whenever you're feeling bad about this part of yourself, as a reminder to be more self-compassionate. Why you should try it. We often judge ourselves more harshly than we judge others, beating ourselves up over our faults, flaws, and shortcomings. That makes us feel isolated, unhappy, and even more stressed. It may even make us try to feel better about ourselves by denigrating other people. Rather than harsh self-criticism, a healthier response is to treat yourself with compassion and understanding. Research suggests that people who respond with compassion to their own flaws and setbacks, rather than beating themselves up, experience greater physical and mental health. You've been listening to Greater Good Magazine, coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix, thanking you so much for listening today, and I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day. And now, stay tuned for more interesting programming coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona.